This is Eco Radio KC, a locally produced exploration of positive solutions to the ecological challenges we face as we work to create a healthier future for our community and the planet.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to Eco Radio. On tonight's program, Richard Mabium welcomes students from Harmon and Wyandotte High Schools who have been trained by Friends of the Caw to test water for pollutants. Also, Olga from the Clean Energy Project lets us know about the upcoming Clean Air Day in Topeka on March 16th. But first, I'm Naturally with your headline news. A Brazilian judge temporarily suspended plans to open what would be the largest gold mine in the Brazilian Amazon this week, saying the Canadian company behind the project illegally obtained land and did not adequately address concerns for indigenous communities, according to news reports. The proposed mine, owned by Toronto-based Belo Sun Mining, would stretch over 675 square miles in the northeastern Amazon rainforest, according to Mongabay. The company estimates that facility will produce 5 million ounces of gold over a 12-year period, mining nearly 35 million tons of rock in the process. Local residents worry that toxic waste, such as cyanide, from the mine could run into the nearby Xingu River, damaging the ecosystem and vital food sources for indigenous communities. There is also disagreement over who owns the rights to the land where the mine would be located. This is not the first time the Belo Sun mine had been delayed. In 2014, another judge suspended its environmental license, saying the Canadian company hadn't properly evaluated the mine's impact on the local population. EcoWatch.com reports the deadline set by North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum for evacuating the Cannonball Dakota Access Pipeline protest site passed Wednesday, and most protesters peacefully vacated before the 2 p.m. cutoff time. Authorities arrested 10 remaining protesters refusing to leave the campground, and an estimated few dozen people are still at the site. The Chicago Tribune reported this morning that the North Dakota's governor said the remaining people will have another chance to leave peacefully Thursday. The American Association for the Advancement of Science reports, while we've known for over a decade now that climate change is variably advancing the onset of spring across the United States, a new set of maps from the USGS-led USA National Phenology Network now demonstrates just how ahead of schedule spring is in your precise neck of the woods. The scientifically reviewed maps and the data behind them show that you may want to keep your shorts and flip-flops handy because spring is already knocking at your door, in some places 3 weeks ahead of schedule. Here's a quick national overview. Spring is now making an appearance in coastal California, southern Nevada, southeastern Colorado, central Kansas, Missouri, southern Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. And it's rolling up across West Virginia and Virginia, soon to hit Philly and Indianapolis, but it's already sprung days ago across the southern Great Plains and the southeast Atlantic coast, and it was 22 days early in Washington, D.C. Why care if glorious days of spring are arriving earlier than normal? Changes in the timing of spring can affect human health, bringing early season disease carriers such as ticks and mosquitoes, and an earlier, longer, and more vigorous pollen season. And while a longer growing season can result in increased yields for some crops, it is risky because of the higher likelihood of plant damage caused by late frost or summer drought. Even something as seemingly simple and beautiful as flowers blooming earlier can disrupt the critically important link between wildflowers and the arrival of birds, bees, and butterflies that feed on and pollinate the flowers. Such changes may prove beneficial to some plants and animals, including some harmful invasive ones, but may be detrimental to others. Changes in seasons can affect economically and culturally important outdoor recreation activities, including affecting the timing of hunting and fishing seasons. That's all for the news. At this time, I'd like to welcome Mr. Richard Mabey into the mic.
Thank you, Naturally. Hello, everyone. And as usual, I have one heck of a show for you. We got a couple of groups here tonight that I think you will all find to be quite entertaining, and I'm looking forward to you being able to hear them. I have a young lady here that's with the Climate Energy Project, and she's going to begin with me by promoting an event that's going on in Topeka in March. And then when she's finished her piece, we'll take a break, and then I'm going to come on with a room full of young people. With a room full of young people, that we're going to talk about some water testing projects and stuff. So get ready, folks. We got a good show for you. Olga, I'm going to let you just take it from here. Introduce yourself. Let them know what you do, where you're at, and then bring it to us.
Good evening, Richard. Thank you so much for this opportunity to talk about Wealth Day. My name is Olga Hakova. I am a program director at the Climate Energy Project. Once again, thanks for having me here. Wealth Day at the Capitol presents an opportunity for all Kansans to learn about and advocate for important issues facing Kansas at the State House in Topeka, March 16th from 9 to 2 p.m. But let me give you a bit of a background to Wealth Day. So 2 years ago, we held a Clean Energy Day at the Capitol. And you and I both know that energy does not exist in a vacuum. The way we use energy, the way we treat energy, it doesn't exist in a vacuum. So last year, we expanded our advocacy efforts to include water and land and food, and we talked about those issues as well, and we had a great set of advocates at the Capitol discussing those issues. This year, we're excited to make the connection to also transportation and health, because we know that our health heavily relies on how clean our air is, as well as how the energy is produced, as well as sustainable transportation system and the quality of food that we eat. So as you can see, all of that is interconnected. So you might be wondering, you know, what's WEALTH? Why did we come up with the WEALTH acronym? So I'm going to say that again. So it stands for water, energy, air, land, transportation, and health, huh? Right. Works out pretty nicely, huh? Very fitting name because, you know, in order for our families and our communities to prosper, we really must have access to clean energy, to clean air, to local sustainable food, to, sustainable transportation systems, and also, you know, health. That's kind of the foundation that connects all of those things together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, here we go. We got a date going on March the 16th.
Yep.
And we're going to bring together, I'm going to call them disciplines, all of those environmental.
That's a great term, Richard.
So how many, I like the notion of this being a collaborative effort. Is
mm-hmm,
that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how many organizations are we talking about? Just I know we're still growing, and we, in fact, right now, want mm-hmm. others, if they want to participate, to get involved with us.
Yeah.
But right now, what are we looking at?
So, Richard, that's a great question, and that's what makes this event so valuable and so unique, is because it is a collaborative effort. We are so fortunate to be co-hosting this event with Kansas Rural Center, Kansas Interfaith Action, Kansas Natural Resources Council, Kansas City Chapter of NAACP, Diesel Health Project, and the Grassland Heritage Foundation. Those kind of partnerships and those kind of groups is what make this extremely a strong event to attend. We also are fortunate to have 24 sponsors that are going to be out there having booths and representing their businesses and organizations and talking to the advocates and legislators about what's important to them. And it's all related to water, energy, air, transportation, food, and health. So.
Okay, so when you say we, who's, mm-hmm. who's putting this on? Who is the parent organization, say?
So Climate Energy Project is heading it up, but I want to stress how collaborative of an effort it is. Yeah, like I said, it's a co-hosted event. You know,
right.
We kind of initiated it, but I want to make sure that it's clear that what makes this event unique and
right.
so valuable and something that is a must attend for our community is because it's not just Climate Energy Project. It's all of these organizations, you know, the experts, the beacons in our community that are out there talking about the issues that they are very knowledgeable in, that they, you know, they understand those issues and they're able to share that information with the advocates no matter what level of knowledge they're at, whether they're a seasoned advocate who's been coming to the Capitol for multiple years and talking to legislators, to someone who maybe for the first time is saying, you know what? You know, this is it. This is going to be the first time when I've come out there, and I'm going to talk to people. I'm going to learn more about these issues because it matters to my family, because I want clean water and clean air and clean energy.
I know that it probably was a mistake having you on here for this brief moment like this, because there's so much to you and I could get into talking about.
Oh, yes. We have great conversations.
But I want to emphasize the fact that we're dealing with a very a troublesome time as far as the environment is concerned. As far as where are we going from here? What's our directions? Who do we talk to? What do we say? So is some of that going to be able to be expressed like with legislators and stuff? Or do we have some intention of being able to talk about how we feel about from our perspective?
You know, I'm so glad you asked that, Richard. You know, today I feel like there's so many things that we can stand against or be against, that having an event where you can come out and be for something is so exciting. And when you're coming in and you're for clean water, you're for clean energy, you're for sustainable system, whether it's transportation, you're for healthy families, it's exciting. And you're absolutely right. There will be multiple opportunities to showcase to legislators. First of all, if we our goal is 200 people, right? So imagine 200 people coming out to the Capitol and saying, look, this matters to Kansans. You know, we're all here because this matters. You know, this event is all day long from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., and it's important. But to give you some specifics to your answer to your questions, we will have a period of time where we'll have an advocacy briefing. So these co-hosting organizations will utilize their experts to talk about, here are specific bills or potential bills that, or, you know, bills that we've had in the past that are happening and that we should be paying attention to. And here's what they mean, because we all know that that language can be confusing for an average Kansan to go through and try to figure out what's happening with the bill. Unless it's your full-time job, it's really hard to keep track of what's going on with those bills. So we'll have that advocacy update to kind of give people the big picture summary of, this is what's going on, this is what you can do, this is who you can talk to, here's who you can call, and here are these legislators here today. So if you see them, and there'll be multiple opportunities, we're going to have during our lunchtime, which will be catered by a local caterer, Raymond Stable. Really excited for that. I want to stress that part because, hey, free lunch. Yeah, let's talk about free lunch. But you gotta RSVP, though. You got to RSVP by March 9th. But during, you know, so we'll have that advocacy update. We'll have our co-host experts to tell you what's going on in all of these different areas, what's going on with health, what's going on with water, and how is it going to affect here, us, right now at home. You know, versus it being this big bill out there that we don't really know what that means. And then later on, we'll have legislators actually talk during lunch, and we're still working to finalize what that agenda looks like. And then people will be able to, you know, hear and talk and see them and ask them, you know, in person and have that conversation one-on-one. And the exciting thing, too, is like last year we had legislators coming and visiting the booth. We had legislators, you know, presenting at lunch. We had legislators just going around and mingling. And we also had the opportunities for people who wanted that one-on-one to go in and schedule those appointments. So, so many opportunities. I can't stress it enough.
I don't want to take up all the time talking about the fact that yours truly here and that yours truly will have a booth along with Laura that's here with Friends of the Call.
We will be excited to
represent. But just so we can end this up, I want you to give people the date again, mm-hmm. the times, and what they can do if they would want to participate.
Absolutely, Richard. Yeah, and before we finish off, I did want to give a shout-out to my coworker, Jamie Hoffling, who is not here, but she's the one who's been behind leading this and putting in all the late hours, and she unfortunately couldn't join us today, but I want to make sure that we give her kudos, and if you see her at the event, make sure to say hi to her and say, hey, great job. I know that she worked really, really hard. But yes, so once again, the event is Wealth Day at the Capitol. It will be at the Kansas Capitol in Topeka, March 16th. Once again, March 16th from 9 a.m., to 2 p.m. We will have a free lunch for you, but in order to do that, you got to register by March 9th, and you can do that at climateandenergy.org. Once again, climateandenergy.org, and is spelled out A-N-D, so it's not like an and sign. climateandenergy.org. So we'd love to see your registrations come through. We'd love to see you there. This is a fantastic opportunity for your voices to be heard and for you to share what's important to you and your family. So thank you, Richard, for having me.
Oh, thank you for showing. And we will look forward to that show. And tell Jamie I said I might want you all to come back after the event and kind of give us a wrap
on
how it went. I think
that
would be good for
great.
People to know how things went.
Yeah. So thank
all
you,
all right,
Richard.
Gang, we're going to take a break. And we'll be back with you in a moment.
On the next Radioactive Magazine, hey, what's going on with all these folks showing up at the town hall meetings and our congressmen and our senators' offices? Well, part of the answer may be what's going on with a group called Indivisible. And you can hear from Ann Becker-Schutte and Rachel Norman of Indivisible KC right here on the next Radioactive Magazine, Tuesday at 6 p.m.
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders electrified crowds during the 2016 presidential primary and easily won the Kansas Democratic Caucus with 67% of the vote. This Wednesday, March 1st, join us at 6 p.m. for a very special broadcast of Sanders' February 25th keynote address to the annual meeting of the Kansas Democratic Party in Topeka. We've got the best seat in the house, so whether or not you felt the burn in 2016, don't miss this exciting event, only at 90.1 FM KKFI.
Preventing stormwater pollution in winter on this Current Cast. Salt, sand, chemical concoctions, and even fertilizers are used to melt ice and provide traction in wintry climates. But when the snow and ice melt, those same items which provide a safe environment wash into storm drains and local water supplies. The side effects of these common winter products include reducing oxygen levels in water, burning and killing vegetation, or increasing sediment buildup in the water, all of which can degrade aquatic habitats. So, to stay safe and reduce the amount of pollution going into the water this winter, try these tips. Shovel frequently during storms, use only one entrance to your home, and use just as much product as necessary, and no more. CurrentCast is produced in partnership with Cornell's Atkinson Center for a Sustainable Future. Learn more online at currentcast.org.
All right, I'm back again, and now I'm with that portion of the program that I think I have learned to love the most. You know, as an environmental-minded, involved person, you all know out there that one thing I'm concerned about is the education of our future generations. Regardless of what's going on in life right now, we need to be setting the foundation for them because it's their world that's going to need that kind of education and that kind of service when they grow up. So working with this wonderful group from Friends of the Cause, I mean, these are two of my sharpest people with Kate Delahunt and Laura Caldwell, who I'll make sure they get to say at least hi before they run out of here. And being able to have this small grant, EJ grant with EPA, and we have an EPA representative here. And Pamela Houston, I'll make sure she has something to say too, so she don't think that she gets by. And then to cap it off, we have the classroom professor, Dr. Bennett, here with us also. And that's a combination that, as far as I'm concerned, is community-based. And I feel that this program, these kind of programs, help us and to complement what our young people are receiving in school. So tonight is their time to star. Okay. So what we've done is prepared a list of questions, and I have two questioners. Everybody here is getting a professional experience of being able to speak intellectually over the air, and your audience, you are the guinea pigs. So don't throw nothing at your radio if you don't like it, okay? Also, here we go. I'm going to turn it over to the person that's going to be reading the questions. Would you please introduce yourselves? I have two.
All right, yes. Thank you, Richard, for having us here tonight. It's a really cool opportunity to talk on the radio with you. My name is Ibrahim El-Basri, and my partner is
Alicia Granados.
Okay, you know, I just realized something. When we went through this back at the place, we went around the room and introduced everybody and told them hi and blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
So what we have to do now, whoever steps up for a question, before you ask them the question, they have to tell you their name, what school they're at, their grade level, and if they got somebody out there that actually had the nerve to listen to them, hi. Okay?
All right. Well, we have Jessica.
Well, my name is Jessica Bronex, and I'm a freshman at J.C. Harmon.
Right. So you were working on bugs in the water. Tell us what you felt about them, and did you know that those bugs existed in the water?
At first, I found them very gross, but over time, as I learned more about them and how they were in the water, I wanted to learn more of how we could get them out the water.
I also want to make you know that they don't know what questions they're going to get. So I didn't want you to think we done this in such a way that it's scripted. So just keep that in mind if it goes quiet over here for a second. Okay?
So next is Abdul.
Hello. My name is Abdul Dafal. I'm a junior at Wyandotte High School.
Okay. And your question is, what was and what were your favorite activities of this program?
Well, really, I love all the activities that I've learned because really I'm learning about water that I've never learned about or things that go into water that I've never learned about. So this is a very good opportunity that I'm getting from the call. And then thank you.
Right. Next we have Sophia.
Hey, y'all. I'm Sophia Cantara, and I am from Jason Harmon High School.
All right, Sophia, what did you like about this program?
What I like about this program is that I get to learn new stuff. Like, I get to learn what critters are in the water and what to help out with the rivers and lakes.
All right, thank you.
So next we have Portua, and your question is, would you recommend...
Introduce yourself first.
Oh, hello. Yeah. My name is Portua. I go to Wyandotte, and I'm a freshman there.
Okay, and your question is, would you recommend what you have done and learned in this program to your friends and family?
Yes, I would, because I think it's a very good opportunity to teach other what you have learned and have experienced, because I never really knew that there was such bad things in waters, and the water that we have drink every day is the water that we already use it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next, and I'm sorry if I pronounced this wrong, Ashmita.
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 Yeah, hey, this is Ashmita. I'm a freshman in Wyandotte.
All right. Can you tell the kids that are listening on the radio right now one advice of what you learned today or in the weeks that you've been with the call?
I've learned that, you know, there's a lot of pollutions, a lot of things going around in our water, and not only our water, also in our, like, what we eat or in, you know, objects. And I just want to say that even though there's, you know, things that are in water, still, you know, it goes through process of cleaning and still clean.
All right, thank you.
And next up is Wade.
Hi, my name is Wade White. I'm a freshman at Harmon.
Okay, and so I'm wondering, are you planning on taking a career that involves water and pollution and experiments in any way?
I don't really know that yet. I was thinking about going in as a mechanic because my dad was a mechanic and my brother, and so I'm just keeping an open mind about that.
Oh, I got to break this up. Okay. When we were practicing today, and the first question I asked him was that question. So that's the answer that he gave. So he had a chance to remember. That was good. That was pretty cool. Go ahead.
All right. Next, we have Lindsay.
Hi, my name is Lindsay Quesada. I go to Wyandotte High School, and I'm a sophomore there.
What made you decide to apply for such a job?
I applied because I thought it would have been a great opportunity, and it would have been really fun to learn about water.
Okay, thank you. And next up, we have a question for Mr. Bennett.
Hi. Hi, I'm Dave Bennett, and I'm not a doctor, but I play one in the classroom. And I teach at J.C. Harmon. I teach biology. And some of these kids are my students, and I'm glad that they're here. And I also want to give a shout-out. I didn't hear a lot of shout-outs, but I give a shout-out to any parents, family members listening to this. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting this program.
And your question is, actually, do you have any questions for us or someone in this room to answer?
Oh, my gosh, I have such big questions for you guys. So I guess my biggest question is, what gives you hope? What gives you guys hope for the environment in the future? So I'm going to ask you two right now who are asking questions. How about, Abraham, you want to go first? What's something that gives you hope about the future of just survival in the environment? What's something that makes you think of, you know, being able to survive?
Well, first of all, since we're the future, I think that this program really is helping us a lot in the future and how to treat our water and our environment, because I really learned that there's a lot of bugs in there, and when they showed me the scales of where those bugs live and how much pollution they're living in, I was really blown away.
So what you're talking about is that some of the bugs, the bugs that we're finding in our water, like at the school, we've collected water and we found bugs, and what do those bugs mean at the school?
They're really bad and nasty.
Yeah, so they can survive in some nasty water, right? So we're not finding the bugs that can't live in nasty water. Those sensitive bugs are not there. All right. So it's you're hopeful because we're actually getting a chance to learn about these things. There's people teaching you, and that's making you hopeful. Awesome.
I hope I'll teach it to someone when I grow old.
Yeah, great. And keep it up in between there, too. You know, you
can teach
it. And Alicia, what do you think?
Well, also, I believe that programs like these are what lead the future generations into finding all this great information about what's going on around us, and just the fact that social media and all these places are getting involved and people are just putting this information out there for everyone to be aware of. And so everyone can do their little piece and picking up litter or something that they find on the floor. It's great. And I hope that we keep growing as a community and keep learning and finding what we can do for our planet Earth.
Yes, I agree very much.
Hey, Matt. All right, come on up, Laura.
Next, we have Miss Laura.
Yes, I'm Laura Caldwell, and I am the Educational Director for Friends of the Kaw. And I've had the pleasure of working with these young people for the past couple months. So what do I get? What's my question?
I was wondering, what is your opinion about Friends of the Kaw?
Well, I've been with Friends of the Kaw for about 25 years. Our mission is to protect and preserve the Kansas River for present and future generations. You guys are the future generations, so we're really excited to offer this class to teach you all about water quality and how to prevent stormwater pollution. And so, yes.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay, and last but not least, we have a question from Ms. Kate.
Hello, my name is Kate Delahunt, and I am the education specialist with Friends of the Kaw. I've been working with Friends of the Kaw now for 3 years and have totally loved working with the high school students in this intern program.
So your question, I guess you almost answered it, is if you had a chance to go back in the past and choose this path for your life or choose another, would you have made the same decision?
I definitely would make the same decision. I have loved every minute of my experience working with the environment and working with students in the environment. It probably all started when I was little. I just loved to camp out and go hiking and things like that. And as time went on, I began to see how people's actions were impacting the environment in a negative kind of way. So I wanted to do something positive by working with students to get more students to understand their role in helping to improve the environment. So, you know, we're talking about improving water quality, but improving water quality has to start with improving the entire environment, and it has to start with everybody. So I really liked what you said, Alicia, about if you see trash on the ground,
right.
You know, just reach down, do your thing, pick it up, put it in the trash. Simple actions like that. The last comment I want to make, and I know Mr. Mavian sometimes is sorry to have me speak on the radio, but unfortunately for the people at home, you don't have the opportunity to see and interact with the students that we have in this room with us right now. The diversity of students we have is incredible. Some of the students who are in this room with me right now are immigrants. One in particular has only been in the United States for 2 years, yet a lot of the students that we're working with right now are very engaged, very involved, care about their community, want to see things improved. So I am very proud to work with every student in this room, and every one of you have a place here in our community, and every one of you have something to offer that's positive. So I appreciate the students who are here today, because I know some of them are very nervous about being here. So thank you so much.
I'm going to break in here. We're going to take a break. I see we right at that time. We don't need to take one. Just run it on through.
We've got one more break, and I figured we'd take it towards the end. Okay. So that way, that'll give you a chance to come around and read the events. Is that okay?
All right. That's
so
good.
Let's not go yet.
We got
time. No.
If
you want to take a break, we can. If you need a break,
let's take a break, and then we'll come right back.
We're going to take a very quick break, and we'll be right back.
Just sit tight.
On the next Khadija and the White Guy, we'll have Emmett Till's cousin, Wheeler Parker, for the hour. There's new evidence in this case. You'll want to hear all about it this Thursday morning on Khadija and the White Guy at 9 a.m., immediately following Amy Goodman.
If you have a car, boat, or truck you no longer need, you can donate it to KKFI, which helps your favorite radio station and gets you a tax deduction. Call Bill at 816-994-7869.
All right, I'm back. We got it worked out. We always have to do a little arranging. I have one person in here thought she was going to get by without saying anything. So before I go into my final wrap-up, I'm going to bring over the person who's working with EPA, who's made it all possible for us to be here. And she couldn't get out of here without having a few things to say. So nobody's going to see you, so come on over here. Introduce yourself there, young lady.
Good evening. My name is Pamela Houston, and I am a community engagement specialist with the Environmental Protection Agency, and I have been there since 2007.
Your question. That's it. I'm just going to leave
you. My question? I get a question?
Did she get a question?
Well, yes, of course. Everyone gets a question.
Okay. I hope I can answer it.
I want a question.
What made you decide to help out with Friends of the Call?
So in my job, I am, like I said, a community engagement specialist. So I work with Superfund sites within our four state regions, Kansas, Missouri, Iowa, and Nebraska. Another one of my responsibilities is environmental justice. And in the environmental justice department, we work with grantees. So Friends of the Call applied for a grant, a $30,000 grant. Mm-hmm. And they were awarded the grant. They actually won. And so I am the project officer over that grant. And it really has done my heart good to see all of the good work that Mr. Mabian and Ms. Laura and Ms. Kate are doing with schools that are in the inner city. It really warms my heart. And hopefully I will be walking the halls with you all at my job in the not so distant future. So hopefully you guys will be interested in becoming engineers and biologists and chemists, and that this just opens the door to whet your appetite to want to do more for the environment.
Very good. Thank you. All right, now I'm going to show off a little bit as we get ready to make this promotional thing to you. We all had different stations that we worked, and mine was, I like to refer to it as a non-chemical state. They didn't put me where the chemicals work, or these people got to come out in life and work. So they put me where there wasn't any chemicals. But I want to give you an idea, an example of the type of knowledge that these young people are walking away from here. So I'll start with my conductivity lady. Will you please come up here, please, and explain what that is? Thought you was going to get away, huh? There you go. Let them know your name and just tell them what it is.
Hey, it's Sophia again.
That's right.
What I learned about conductivity is conductivity is found in the water because of all the salts and the road salt. And I think it's really bad because there's a lot of road salt during the wintertime. And what conductivity mostly is metal in the water. But, like, there's some metal in the water, but we're adding more into it, and what it could do to the water is it could make it cloudy or make the temperature rise.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
My second person that I'm bringing up is my pH person. pH person, come on up here. All right, tell me your name and tell them what pH is.
My name is Shmira, and pH basically stands for, you know, potential of hydrogens. And what I have learned about pH is, you know, how much pH it absorbs in, you know, water and, you know, other objects such as, you know, from lemon to, like, your soap or something, things like that. There's, like, a lot of things that contain pH, but then, like, you know, we don't have that much knowledge over it. And, yeah, pH basically measures how much, you know, alkyde or bases your object is.
Thank you. All right, then my final one. I'm not for sure how this one's going to go. We're going to see. You tell me what you want to talk about.
Turbidity.
All right. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. What turbidity? You want me to ask what turbidity is?
You brought it up.
Well,
yes, sir.
Oh, what turbidity is?
Yes, sir.
What turbidity is water caused by erosion, runoff,
clarity.
Runoff clarity, and
it's clarity of the water.
Clarity of the water.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you,
Mr. Now, that's what that is what we're going to be having them display on March the 7th. So Laura, will you come up and invite the populace?
Part of this program is these students are learning the water quality tests, and then they are going to teach it to adults next Tuesday, March 7th, at the Bethany Medical Center. It'll be in the second floor conference room. It's at 21 North 12th Street in Kansas City, Kansas. Anybody is welcome to come if they want to learn about water quality. The students are going to teach the non-chemical tests that Mr. Mabian just had them talk. We'll have some students teaching chemical tests, and that'll be dissolved oxygen, phosphate levels, nitrate levels, and fecal coliform bacteria. We'll have some students talking about macroinvertebrates, or the little bugs that live in the water that show us if the water's healthy or not, and also dissolved oxygen.
You know, I can't say enough, and many of you heard me talk about these young people that were coming here long before they got here. I told you they were coming. And I think you got a good chance to see tonight how they've gone from just being your regular high school students to becoming masters at an art that has to do with, I love to say that they're learning how to scientifically test water. And as much support as we can give them, and that's what we got to have. You know, our young people don't live in Johnson County and in other parts of the city, and I'm not being critical about it. Our kids live right here in the inner city. And having an opportunity to see the growth and expansion and things happening around you on a day-to-day basis to help motivate you in what you're doing in life, we don't always have it. I like to say we have to manufacture it in our particular communities. And this is an example of one of the areas that we manufacture it. I can't say enough. And
I forgot to say the time.
Oh, yes, one more time. Come on.
It's March 7th. From 4:30 to 6 at 21 North 12th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, is when the water testing seminar is going to happen, and the kids will be teaching the different water quality tests.
So if you get a chance, come on by. If you know someone who you're listening to this and you think that they would really enjoy experiencing that, I'd say come on by. If any of you out there are educators working in schools, and you think this might be something you'd like to see happen at your school, we do it in Catholic schools. We do it in schools all over Kansas City, Kansas. And they also do them out in Johnson County and other places, too. But we have, and we've gone from K through 12. We've worked with high school students, and we've worked with middle schools, and we work with elementary schools doing this same program and testing the water. So if you get a chance, come on out. Give us your support. We'll be there. I'm sure that all the youngsters will appreciate you being there. I want you to pick me one person who you would like to have ask a question. Come on.
Well, it was just suggested to me that with the Kids About Water program, we need adult volunteers to come help us help young students test water at a water site. And so that's what this training is for, is those type of volunteers. So if you're interested in volunteering with Friends of the Caw and helping students test water, this is a wonderful opportunity on Tuesday, March 7th.
All righty. Blind guy, if you're listening out there, get somebody to give you a ride over there. Who did you pick?
I picked Sophia.
Sophia, we want you to come ask the question of who? Did you pick somebody for her to ask the question?
Yes, for Abdul.
Abdul. Pick though.
It should be interesting.
Yes, it should.
So I gotta ask him a question?
Yes, ma'am.
So Abdul, did you study for your water test?
No.
If I think about it, we teach him to tell the truth. All right, Gabe, we're going to take this last break. We'll be back with you in just a second. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. It might seem strange for a health insurance company to take action on climate change, but Blue Cross Blue Shield of Massachusetts considers it a good investment.
We know that there are certain things, climate change related, that ultimately can impact someone's health.
That's Kyle Cahill, the company's Director of Sustainability and Environmental Health.
Heat can impact not only your physical health, but certainly increased stress and mental health as well. Weather events and extreme precipitation that can cause flooding and other issues not only can increase physical health issues, but can actually have long-lasting physical and mental health issues.
To help their customers address these issues, the company provides information on coping strategies. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Massachusetts is also taking action to limit global warming. It's making its company's offices more energy efficient and purchasing clean energy. And the company is helping its customers by supporting community solar.
Ultimately, we know it will benefit all of us in the healthcare system broadly because people will become healthier.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
Okay, we're back again, and y'all bear with us. We're working on this schedule. When you have the amounts of numbers of folks that we have in here right now and trying to work this out so we can get down to our regular routine time, it may take time to do it, but we're having a good time doing it. So I got plenty of folks in here to ask questions. I just brought a new one up. Stand up, please, sir. Give me your name, and we want you to ask the question. Yes, ma'am. Okay. You ask the question. Mechanic.
Okay, about Friends of the Call teaching us, do you think that these tests are effective when they do them on, like, lakes or creeks? And
say your names, okay? Always.
My name is Wade.
Thank you.
My name is Lindsay, and I do think they are effective, but I don't think they would be effective if nobody knows about the tests, if they don't reach out to the people.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
Well, if you, like, go outside to a lake and do a test, and you, like, deem the lake dirty and polluted, and you don't tell anyone, and then, like, people go outside and, like, play around in the lake, and they get sick, no one will ever know.
Okay, very good. I'm going to let you ask the next question. Let me turn and see. Come on up here. Oh, yeah, don't think you're hiding. I'm on my way. Yes, ma'am. Lindsay, you asking the question.
Do you think, Portia, do you think it's necessary for, like, everyday person to know about water testing? Like, how to, like, do a water test?
Yes, I think everyone should know because it's important in life for the future, for the next generation to know because we're going to have the water that we need and we should treat it nicely as we can.
Got a tough one for you. I want you to ask Mr. Bennett a question.
Hello, Mr. Bennett.
Hey, how you doing, Portia?
So, my question is, how do you feel about this program? Because you were staying with us all the time.
Yeah, so I invited these folks into my classroom, Friends of the Caw, and I'm excited about the program. Really, it's an opportunity for students to get outside of their regular everyday kind of, you know, book learning or online learning or just watching things happen. They're actually doing things, and they're working with water at our school. They're working with water from other sources. They are getting to work out in the community. They're getting to speak out in the community, like yes. with this program. Yes. And I really want to thank Eco Radio KC. Mike and Richard, thanks so much for doing this for us, because this is, you know, really what it's about. This is, you know, we're really doing work yes. right now. We're reaching out to the community and teaching you guys, the listeners, about, you know, kids and water and what they're learning about how to keep the environment healthy and all the knowledge that they're picking up. So I'm really excited about the opportunity for kids to stretch out and learn new things. So
you can ask the question to the young lady behind you.
Jessica.
Yes.
So, Jessica, I guess I'm wondering, how do you think we could reach out to other kids in the community who maybe are not, you know, besides just having adults come in, from student to student, what are some things that a student can do to try to encourage other students to get involved in helping out the environment and making the world a more livable place?
Well, one way I think that could be achieved is that since our generation is so into technology, we could share it on social media, talk about it to friends, and just share it as much as we can.
Okay. Now you get to ask the question, and it's to Miss Houston.
Nope.
Oh, you got one behind
me? We got one more that hasn't talked.
Oh. So who's asking? What, you asking her? Okay.
Yeah. So Ashmita, if I say it right. What do you think you can do personally to change the water system?
My name is Ashmita, and to change the water system, I personally think that I can, you know, use the water wisely, or, you know, use it as we're actually supposed to, like, even though we can't really do something with it, like, we can at least, like, use it, you know, usefully and, you know, functionally.
Okay. All right, gang. We've gotten down to the last minute here, so I can wrap it up. I want to thank the students. I want to thank Friends of the Cause, Kate and Laura, and I want to thank Mr. Bennett for allowing us an opportunity to have this experience and to be able to share this experience with others. It's my lifelong dream that these kinds of programs are being made available to our young people, and that those programs will be able to go across the board. I was talking to Miss Houston today, and she was talking about one of the young men, and she said that she can mess around. I can mess around and see how he may be coming to me looking for a reference. And I said, shoot, I can mess around and be going to him for a job. All right, gang. I hope you appreciate it. We're going to call it quits here. I'll see you the next time they have me hosting the show. Thank you now.
You probably know that Kansas became a slave-free territory of the United States in 1854. But did you know that Quindaro, Kansas was part of the Underground Railroad, the path to freedom for countless runaway slaves? Construction of the buildings that became Quindaro, which by the way means in union there is strength, began in 1857. The site for the Quindaro town was chosen because it was a good location for steamboats to dock, and abolitionists living in the area were already assisting slaves to escape on the Underground Railroad. During its early history, after the Civil War, much of Quindaro was settled by freed slaves. Even though Quindaro is now part of Kansas City, Kansas, many still say, I was born in Quindaro or I live in Quindaro. To find out more, come on and visit the Quindaro Underground Railroad Museum, located in the Vernon Multipurpose Center at 3437 North 27th Street in Kansas City, Kansas. The Vernon Center is open 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. daily, or you can call 913-321-1220. This is Richard Mabian, a proud citizen of Quindaro, Kansas, for Community Voices, a public service of 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
After the Harvest, a nonprofit volunteer hunger relief organization, is looking for volunteers to help pick fruits and vegetables to feed people in need. call 816-921-1903 or go to our website, aftertheharvestkc.org, for more information. This message, a public service of 90.1 KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Okay, gang, we're ending the show now with Abraham. Abraham, he is going to read the community news.
All right, thank you, Mr. Richard. Our first news is not food, food not lawns. Instructor Steve Mann will teach ecologically sound methods of replacing your lawn with gardens, edible landscaping, and forest gardens into two sections, common university class from 7 to 9 p.m. on Wednesday, March 8, 15. It will be held at the University of Missouri Kansas City School of Michigan of
Medicine,
Theater C, 2411, Holmes, Kansas City, Missouri. For more information and to register, go to Eco Radio Facebook page, March 8, 2017, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Our next news is composting workshop. Two composting experts will share their strategies for using compost to create sustainable landscape and manage drought, stormwater, and erosion at a free composting workshop. The Composting and Organics Association of Missouri will host a compost to create sustainable landscape workshop from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Thursday, March 9, at the Anita B. Garman Conservation Discovery Center at 4750 Trust Avenue, Kansas City, Missouri. The workshop is designed for landscape
architects,
All right.
And just give the date.
March 9, 2017, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And then our last but not least is Monster Garden Springs Seminar. A set of gardening experts will offer advice on native plants, garden design, butterflies and pollinators, fruit trees, backyard birds, no-till gardening, and successful growing tomatoes in Monster Gardens Spring Annual Semester on Saturday, March 11. Alan
Brenhagen.
Brenhagen, Director of
Horticulture
at Pell Gardens, is the keynote speaker and will talk about his new book, Native Plants of the Midwest. For
participants
can choose from 12 sessions, including preserving the land with garden design, butterflies, pollinators, backyard fruit trees, composting, much backyard birds, spring and fall garden maintenance, and growing tomatoes. The seminar will be held at Rockhurst University, 1100 Rockhurst Road, Kansas City, Missouri. Detailed class descriptions and a registration from all available on our Eco Radio Facebook page from March 11, 2017, from 8 a.m. to 3:45 p.m.
Pollution okay, pot not. That and other stories on H2O Radio's weekly news report about water. I'm Jamie Sudler.
I'm Franny Halperin, and it's This Week in Water.
The Trump administration is set to start the work of dismantling climate and water rules as early as next week.
That's according to new EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt, who spoke last week at the Conservative Political Action Conference, or CPAC.
Pruitt wants to give states more of a say in air and water protection to ensure that regulations are reined in.
An example of what he means is being played out in West Virginia, where a bill that would allow more pollution to be discharged into rivers and streams was approved by a legislative committee.
The bill would change the way pollutants are measured so that discharge permits would allow significantly more contaminants in water, according to a consultant who spoke with the Charleston Gazette-Mail.
The bill is being pushed by the State Manufacturers Association with the support of Governor Jim Justice. The governor said in his State of the State address that regulators should stop standing in the way of business growth.
He denigrated state environmental inspectors, saying they wear T-shirts, old jeans, and haven't shaved in forever.
According to Angie Rosser with the Western Virginia Rivers Coalition, it comes down to whether the legislature wants more toxic and cancer-causing chemicals in water or not.
While the feds want to allow states more leeway with pollution regulations, not so fast with marijuana.
White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer said the administration expects federal officials to enforce drug laws prohibiting marijuana in states that now allow recreational use.
The feds will continue to allow medical pot, but the Trump spokesman said that he believes recreational use may encourage people to try opioids, basically the theory that weed is a gateway drug.
But the marijuana industry is already quite large, employing thousands. One state benefiting from legalization is accommodating the industry, particularly in its use of water, even as the administration gets mad over reefers.
A little more than a week ago, a court in Colorado approved an application to use water to grow pot for both medical and recreational use.
The company asking for the permission wants a water right to irrigate up to 3,000 pot plants.
The application was filed in the complex water courts in Colorado and was approved, even though pot is still a controlled substance, as the White House pointed out.
Aspen Journalism reports that there may not be an appeal of the decision granting the water right. It seems the main objections were not to the use of the water, but instead the amount required.
The Colorado court pointed out that while federal law may ban pot, it does not ban using water to grow marijuana.
Last Friday, Pope Francis said that access to clean drinking water is a basic human right.
His remarks came as he met with 90 international experts who participated in what was called a dialogue on water held at the Vatican.
The Catholic News Service reports that the Pope cited statistics from the UN that said each day 1,000 children die from water-related illnesses and millions of people consume polluted water daily.
The pontiff also said that he asks himself if we are all headed toward a world war over water.
The struggle to protect water from pollution has led to violence, as most know, in North Dakota, maybe not on the scale feared by the Pope, but still with people being attacked by dogs, water cannons, and bullets.
The day before the Pope made his remarks, police officers in North Dakota removed all remaining water protectors from the main Standing Rock camp.
Videos of the police action resemble military operations, with armed vehicles and riot-clad officers heavily weaponized.
At one time, the Standing Rock camp contained 10,000 people, but last week only 70 remained, according to Vice News. There's a new study about fracking and its potential threat to water, which shows it is more significant than thought.
This new report, done by researchers at Duke University, looked at spills not only during the fracking process itself, but long after drilling, as much as 10 years.
The study found that there had been nearly 7,000 releases or spills from fracked wells over a 10-year period in four states, North Dakota, Colorado, New Mexico, and Pennsylvania.
What was significant about this new research is that a prior study done by the EPA found only about 460 spills in a shorter period, but that EPA report did not look beyond just a few days after drilling.
The new work showed that about half of the spills occur around storage of liquids and moving them through pipelines.
Most of the spills studied occurred in North Dakota, where police just removed protesters from the Standing Rock site. And finally, we've all had bad hair days when we want to hide, but that uncooperative hairdo of yours, it could score you some cold hard cash. Operative word being cold.
People from all over the globe are heading to Canada to create the most artistic hairstyle possible by freezing it. The most dramatic coif could win $750.
To enter the contest, you first have to get yourself to Tikini Hot Pools in the Yukon and soak in their hot springs.
And it's got to be cold enough, somewhere in the neighborhood of -4 degrees Fahrenheit.
Don't worry, the pool is toasty, averaging about 108 degrees, and for that reason, it emits a lot of steam, which then freezes your hair.
The Tikini website gives step-by-step instructions for the best results, which include the caveat that it could take a while. Two of the steps in the process are wait, and then wait some more.
Eventually, your hair will be ready to sculpt to a design limited only by your imagination. Think Medusa or Einstein.
When you're ready, take a selfie and submit it to the contest. Winners will be announced mid-March.
Curious to see the hair-raising early submissions? Go to our website at h2oradio.org to see the frozen bobs, or as the Daily Telegraph called them, permafrosts. This Week in Water is supported by the American Water Works Association. Build a better world through better water at AWWA's ACE 17 in Philadelphia, June 11th through 14th. Learn more at awwa.org/ACE17.
Thanks for listening. Eco Radio KC on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.